Good morning. A warm welcome to all who are here in Kemnay Kirk for worship this Sunday. A warm welcome to all who are watching live online via Kemnay Kirk anytime, anywhere, especially our friends at Littlewood Court, and to all who are watching on our catch-up service during the coming week. We are so glad to have everyone join us for worship today. We have a few intimations to share at the start of our time. First of all, I've been asked to announce that over the summer, the rest of the summer, on Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock at the church center, we will have prayer meetings. I think they're downstairs in the church center. And that's Tuesday morning, 10 a.m., and all are welcome. And it's not really a structured time. It's more of a time to gather together in prayer and to come together with each other and with God with an open heart and an open mind for a time of prayer and reflection. So that's every Tuesday morning over the summer at 10 o'clock down at the church center. Over the summer, our Explorers curriculum for children is on holiday, but children are always welcome here in Kemnay Parish Church. And so this summer, during the sermon time, children can have a variety of options. They can take an activity from the side of the sanctuary over there. Primary age children can pick up their worship bag from the closet in the back corner. And younger children can be accompanied by a guardian to the back of the sanctuary or to the side room where there are toys available in the cabinets. The toys are back there, and this is a place more for quiet. But toys, you can take them from there to there, and we'll pick up after you after the service as well. But we're delighted to have any and all children with us every single Sunday in worship, an invaluable part of our church family. Been asked to intimate that the total raised this year for Christian aid came to the very good sum of £4,600. And so thank you all very much who volunteered and donated for our ongoing work with Christian aid. Your help and generosity is warmly appreciated. Been asked to announce as well that over at Loaves and Fishes at our church center, we have new volunteer opportunities at Loaves and Fishes. We're always pleased to have new people join our team of volunteers. And when you see her, please speak with Suzanne Bunton for more information if that sounds of interest to you. And over the course of the summer, we've also announced that throughout the Presbytery of Gordon, well, throughout the year even, we have different congregations we keep as a prayer focus. And over the summer months, the congregation that we keep in prayerful focus are our friends at Howe Trinity in Afford, along with their minister, Reverend Dr. John Cook. And so please be mindful of Howe Trinity over the summer months to pray for their continued ministry and outreach to their community. And as you feel led over the summer, if you feel so inclined, to take one Sunday and to pay them a visit for worship, to know that we are supporting them and we care about their ministry and we're all in this together. Are there other announcements, intimations we need to share with our church family at the start of our time today? Going once, twice. With those shared then, let us enter into worship through the gift of music by singing our first song together, which is My Jesus, My Savior. And during the singing of this song of praise, your offering for God's continued work here in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Let us commit our worship to God. Let us pray together. We praise you, Lord, that we can come to you so freely, our Father, our Lord, our Saviour, through our Saviour Jesus Christ. We praise you for the gift of prayer. We thank you that we can come so freely to you and bring our hearts and our minds to you. We thank you that we can come as individuals, but also that we can come as a fellowship and we can join together in prayer, supporting each other in prayer and uplifting each other in prayer. And we thank you that as our Father, you receive our prayers and you hear us and you answer us in the way that you know best. Lord, you do know our hearts and minds. And Lord, you know that as we come to you today, many of us have things that are on our minds. We've got people that we're concerned for. We've got situations we're concerned about. And Lord, just in a few minutes of silence, may we bring them and lay these at your feet. Lord, as we bring these things, we thank you again that you hear us. And Lord, we ask that we will know your peace, the peace which passes all understanding, filling our hearts and our minds in Christ. And Lord, we thank you that as we come to you, we have that confidence that you are with us here now. And Lord, we thank you for providing everything that we need. And we thank you for being able to give our offerings to you today. And Lord, we ask that you will use them for your service and extending your kingdom in this community and around the world. And Lord, we pray that you will lift up our hearts in worship to you as we continue our worship today. And Lord, that you'll bless Joshua as he leads us in considering your word. And thank you for the great prayer that you have taught us, that Jesus gave us himself, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, David. Continue to worship God through music with singing our next song of praise, Rejoice, Rejoice.
Thank you.
Invite any children who'd like to come down to join me on the steps for the children's time. Children of all ages are welcome. You can get older, but you don't have to grow up. At least that's what I tell myself. Little set with video. Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate it. How are we all doing? Good? Is your summer holiday off to a good start, I hope? Yes, indeed. Is it nice to have a break from school? Yes, it is. That's very, very direct honesty. I like that. So, boys and girls, I've been thinking this week about things that we all need to live. We all have basic things we need to live our lives. So I have some pictures to show you today, and they'll be up on the screen as well. And I wonder if you can tell me what you think these are, if they're going to be up there. Not working yet. Okay. Well, I'll show, let's see here. Make sure this is still connected. Yes, it is. Let's see here. Any joy? Good? Okay, very good. So here's a picture. Show it to you first. What do you think this is a picture of? We all do it almost every second of every day. What do you think this is a picture of? What's that going into the nose, do you think? Air. So what do you do when air comes in your nose? That's called, starts with a B? Breathing. That's right. Can we all take a deep breath right now? Now, doesn't that feel nice? How many of you have ever tried to hold your breath before? Anybody else in the congregation? Yes? So how long can you hold your breath for? Don't know? Anybody else ever timed yourself? How long can you hold your breath for? Not too long, that's right. I tried all the time when I was your age to try to hold my breath, but I think the farthest I ever got was maybe 2 minutes, and by that point, I was ready for a big, deep breath. And what happens if you hold your breath too long? Do you know? Do you know what happens? We faint, we fall over. It's not very fun at all. So we need to breathe all the time. So we all need air every day to live. We breathe while we're awake. We breathe while we're sleeping. We're always, always breathing. So next picture, what do you think this person is doing? Drinking water. Now, let's be honest. Do you like to drink water? Yeah, oh, wow. That's very impressive. I did not. When I was, I liked fizzy drinks better than water, but then my parents always said, drink water first, then have a fizzy drink afterwards. But this person's drinking a nice big glass of water. Hands up in the congregation if you enjoy drinking water. Oh, very healthy congregation. That is a good sign. And most adults are supposed to drink about 8 glasses of water every single day. That's a lot of water to drink, isn't it? So, but we need to drink water. And it's one of the things we need to live our lives. Because did you know our bodies are mostly made out of water? Isn't that incredible? So we need lots and lots of water to keep our bodies happy and healthy. What do you think this is a picture of? Yeah? Do you like fruit? Yes? What kind of fruits do you see in this picture? Strawberries, yep. Mm-hmm. What are those? Starts with a C, with a ch sound. Yes, cherries. That's right. So strawberries, cherries, blueberries, and raspberries. That sounds good right now, doesn't it? But we need lots of healthy foods so that our bodies work right as well. Now, it's not always easy to eat healthy, right? Sometimes we want a big cheeseburger or a milkshake or a can of Iron Brew as well. But you know, what do you think happens if we were to only eat candy or to only drink Iron Brew? Do you think you'd feel pretty good after eating all that candy and Iron Brew? I think you'd be high as a kite for about an hour, and then what's happened after that? You go, and you feel really miserable and really cranky and have to go to bed for a while. At least I would. So we have to make sure that we have a balanced diet. We need good food, right? So what's this a picture of? Somebody sleeping. Have you ever had trouble sleeping before? You ever have a night where you just can't fall asleep? Yes, indeed. Maybe like Christmas Eve, perhaps you're so excited to open presents in the morning, you can hardly shut your eyes. Does that sound familiar in the Campbell household? Yes, indeed. Good. And so most studies tell us that adults need about 7 or 8 hours of sleep, and children need even more sleep than that every single night in order to function properly. So getting a good night's sleep is so very important. That's another thing we need. What's this a picture of? Shirts. Yep. And some bottoms and some shirts as well. Do you agree? Clothes. We need clothes as well, right? Life would be pretty tough without clothes, I think. We'd be very cold all the time. It'd be kind of embarrassing, I think, as well. So we need to wear clothes. That's very, very important, too. So these are all things we need. What's this a picture of? A house. You agree? Yes, we all need a place to keep our clothes, to eat our food, to go to sleep, to drink water. We need shelter. We need a house to keep us safe as well. So these are all things that I think we can agree we all need every single day to live our lives. Here's one more picture. Who's that? Who do you think that might be? Starts with a J. That's right. Starts with a J, ends with Jesus, right? This picture of Jesus. So we talked about how we need food, we need air, we need water, we need clothes, we need shelter. But as Christians, we also need Jesus in our lives, right? That we are called to be good and kind people, but sometimes it's just really hard to be good and to be kind. And we can't always do it by ourselves. So every day we need Jesus' help to live as good Christian boys and girls. And today's lesson that we're going to learn about with the adults, Jesus is teaching his followers that they need him, his help, to live every single day of their lives. So we can start every day with a very simple prayer. Let's try it now. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, help us to be kind.
Help us to be kind.
Help us to be loving.
Help us to be loving.
Help us to follow you.
Help us to follow
you. We love you.
We love you.
We need you.
We need you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen. You can go back to your seats now. There is never, ever a time when we do not need our Lord's help to live as his disciples. And the best way to live is to live for Jesus every single day.
I want to live for Jesus every day.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 40 on page 566 of your church Bibles. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not conceal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. You can find that on page 1083 of your church Bibles. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, David. We continue to worship God through song by singing our next song of praise, a plea and an invocation for us to hear God clearly through Scripture and through preaching. So we sing together now, Purify My Heart. Let us pray. Loving God, in this time, we do ask that you would purify our hearts, that you would cleanse our minds, you would unstop our ears, open our eyes, so that we may see you, know you, hear you, and love you more and more. We ask your blessing upon this time of looking more deeply at your word. Use this time to help us know you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we may know, we are making our way now through a summer series on one very important topic, the topic of prayer. Now, on one level, prayer is a very simple idea, talking to God and listening to God. But there are so many different dimensions of this crucial spiritual practice, many different angles we can take at looking at this fundamental practice of the Christian life. And it's worth taking some weeks to look at prayer in depth together, because it can be, and it needs to be, foundational for each of our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. So back in June, we started this series by talking about one important truth about prayer. It might seem obvious, but we need to pray. We need to pray. We cannot live the Christian life as God means for it to be lived without prayer as both foundation and center of our lives. Because prayer is so foundational for our lives, as we said, each week's sermon is an attempt to look at this spiritual practice from a different angle so that we will see that there is really no part of our lives which cannot be part of our life with God in prayer. Along with just the basic need to pray, we've also heard how our need for prayer should not be reserved only for special occasions. When it comes to prayer, we should never think of it as bothering God. Instead, just as we love to make time for those people who are closest to us, just as we like to have a blether with our closest friends and our neighbors and whatnot, we can also have time with God every single day. We can have a blether with God every single day in prayer, anytime, anywhere. And when it comes to our prayer lives with God, we can share the highs, we can share the lows of our lives, but we can also share all of those everyday in-betweens. In the second passage that David read for us a few moments ago, do we notice what Jesus called his disciples? What word did he use to refer to his disciples? I call you not servants, but friends. What a beautiful invitation for relationship with God. We have it right there from the very mouth of Jesus himself. He called his first disciples friends, and that applies to all who have the Holy Spirit in their lives. And we all do, because we are all followers of Jesus. We too have friendship with Jesus. And through prayer, we can have true friendship with God. A couple of weeks ago, Fiona Lister reminded us that because we have this true friendship with God, we can also be real with God, even especially when our lives are less than fantastic, less than great. Life with God through prayer is not about putting on a plastic smile and claiming that everything is fine when in fact it is anything but. If our lives are in turmoil, if we're going through difficult times, challenging times, heartbreaking times, and we take time to pray and we say, God, everything's going great, Lord, is that really being real with God? And can't God see right through us anyways? So part of the life with God in prayer is about being real with God. And Fiona reminded us through the story of Job that life with God in prayer is big enough to handle even our deepest pain. And real intimacy with God means that we bring our whole selves, whether those whole selves are whole or broken, before God in prayer. There's no part of our lives we have to hold back from God. We can bring it all, every last bit of it. And last week, David kindly reminded us that while God is always present, always there, always accessible, more often than not, God's presence comes to us in ways we may not expect. Last week, for the prophet Elijah, we were told that God was not revealed, remember, in the great wind, in the earth, in the fire, when he was hiding in the cave, afraid for his life because of the threats of Jezebel and Ahab. But instead, for Elijah, the power of God was revealed in a low, gentle whisper. And in a similar fashion, we're told that Jesus proclaimed the coming kingdom of God. But rather than entering the world with great bombast and spectacle and fireworks, or as David would say, M80s, the kingdom of God has come into the world like a mustard seed, something small, something almost undetectable, something seemingly insignificant, but by the Spirit's power, it will grow into something world-transforming, world-redeeming. And in many ways, each of the lives that we lead is like a mustard seed that God can and will use. We might feel small, but we know from throughout the whole collection of Scripture that God delights in using small, seemingly insignificant things to accomplish great purposes. And this brings us to this week's approach to prayer. We've heard before that the book of Psalms is the great prayer book of God's people. That's what John Calvin, the great reformer, called it. And Psalm 40 is certainly no exception to this rule. So let's take a look at this Psalm 40. And if you have your church Bibles or your own Bibles handy, I invite you to follow along as we look a little more closely at Psalm 40. The opening line of this psalm, as you turn to it, the opening line gives us some information about the composition. Even before the psalm actually starts, there's a line of information. And it's a dedication. And some translations would say to the leader or to the choir master, perhaps. And who does it say wrote this psalm? A psalm of
David.
That's right. And David refers, of course, to King David, the greatest leader of the nation of Israel. Every other reign of every other king was rightly compared against the reign of David. And in the Old Testament, no other king of Israel had as much of an impact on the social, military, and spiritual development of the Hebrew people. But looking at the psalm, what a contrast. Unlike modern-day leaders of every stripe, who often brag about their own successes, David, the greatest, most successful, most powerful king in all of Israel, he takes a different approach with this psalm. Does he start by saying, "I'm so great"? Does he start like that? No. Starts following along, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined me. He heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. He set my feet upon a rock, made my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." Not in the king, but in the Lord. This is hardly false piety. These opening lines of Psalm 40 are an unflinching affirmation by King David that apart from God, his own life would have amounted to a whole heap of nothing. We know from Scripture that in his life, David, before and after he became king, he faced many challenges. Some caused by others, some caused by his own family, and some other challenges caused by his own brokenness and sin, referring, of course, to David and Bathsheba. And any one of these hardships that David endured was enough to derail his kingship and to undo him as a human being. David knew that he sat on the throne of Israel only because of God's amazing mercy and grace. Only because of God's amazing mercy and grace. And the same is true, I think, for each and every one of us. When I was growing up in the United States, I remember hearing a lot of talk, not so much from my parents, but just from the culture in which I lived. I heard a lot of talk about the virtue of the self-made, or the self-made woman, the one who hikes himself or herself up by the bootstraps, right? Who works hard, who perseveres, who earns every good thing that comes his or her way. That is in the air still today, especially in American culture. It's idealized, it's idolized even. The self-made person. And maybe this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyways. No such self-made person has, does, or ever will exist. Raise your hand if you got to where you are today all by yourself. Anybody? Oh. The idea of a self-made person is a most dangerous myth. It's an insidious lie that leads only to a sense of entitlement, pride, and callousness towards the needs of others. I made it on my own. Why can't you? There is no room in the Christian life for such a dangerously false idea as a self-made person. Even a cursory glance through Scripture will show us that rather than being self-sufficient, we are, well, let's let King David tell us. Look at set verse 17 of Psalm 40. David writes, "As for me, I am what? Happy and healthy? What does he say? Poor and needy." Anybody like being poor and needy? I certainly don't. But that's how David describes himself, the king in all of his splendor, all of his power. He is poor and needy. But the Lord, he says, takes thought for me. You, O Lord, are my help, my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. These words of David capture the realities of each of our lives. No matter how strong, how wealthy, how talented we think we might be, the truth is every single one of us is poor and needy and desperately in need of help. But it's equally true that even in our poverty, even in our neediness, it's the Lord, in all of his compassion, all of his love, he takes thought for each and every one of us. Friends, there is never a time when we are not in need of God's mercy and grace. Never, not one moment. But equally true, there's never a time when God will not give those things to us. We're always in need of mercy and grace, and God will always give those things to us. That's the reality of our lives. And life with God in prayer reminds us that we cannot make it on our own. And it reminds us that we never have to make it on our own. In fact, we are designed never to make it on our own. Look at the other reading that David read for us, the New Testament, John 15. John chapter 15. Keeping in mind the thought, we are designed not to make it on our own. The start of this passage, Jesus said, "I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener," or the vine dresser, depending on your translation. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he," the Father, "takes away. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you, my disciples, are clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide or remain in me. I am the vine," says Jesus. "You, my disciples, my friends, are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, that person bears much fruit." And here's the kicker. "For apart from me," Jesus, "you can do nothing." So Jesus, in this teaching in chapter 15, offers us a perfect image for life with God, for our prayer lives with God. God and God alone is the one true source of all hope, all joy, all lasting peace. And Jesus, God's Son, God in human flesh, he is the one through whom we can have this hope, this joy, this peace. It is ours for the asking. He is the true vine. And our Heavenly Father cares for the vine. And by the Spirit's power, we find our hope, our joy, and our peace as branches connected to the true vine of Jesus. It's a beautiful image, isn't it? And it's the Holy Spirit who enables us to pray. God helps us pray to God. We'll hear more about that in the coming weeks. And when we pray, we are brought into living relationship, living connection with the living God. And when we pray, we are connected to Jesus, who connects us to the Father. We cannot grow in prayer without God's help. We try to pray apart from God's help. If we feel like we're struggling with prayer, we need to remember that we need God's help to pray. So a great prayer is to ask for help to pray. And I think it'd be great to start every prayer we pray every prayer we pray, prayers of praise, prayers of lament, prayers of any occasion, with these words of King David, "I am poor, I am needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. I am poor, I am needy, but the Lord takes thought for me." Our lives are branches, very much in need of Jesus, God's life-giving vine. We are poor, we are needy. And apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. I think we can agree this is a lovely building, isn't it? Many hands worked very hard to build this wonderful place of worship. But I wish I could change just one thing about this church building. Wish that over every entrance and exit to this church, I wish I could inscribe the words of John 15:5. "Apart from me, you can do nothing." But the opposite is true. With Jesus, the whole of spiritual life is ours for the asking. By ourselves, we are poor, needy, and empty. But with Jesus as the vine, with Jesus as center and foundation of our lives, with Jesus at the center of our prayers, we can begin again to live truly as God's people. When we are truly connected to Jesus, God will use our lives in remarkable ways, not to bring ourselves glory, but to bring glory to his name and to continue the redemption of the world. Jesus talks a lot about having life and life in fullness. This is in the gospel. "I came that they may have life, abundant life." But that abundant life with Jesus Christ, we need Jesus for it. We cannot have it on our own. We are poor. We are needy. Will this reality make us despair? Or will our neediness drive us back again to Jesus, the true vine, who can fill each of our lives with abundant purpose and abundant meaning? The choice is ours. Let us pray. Repeat after me, please. Lord, we are poor.
Lord, we are poor.
We are needy.
We are needy.
But you take thought
for each of us.
Thank you, Lord, for the life
offered to us in Jesus Christ.
Help us, Lord, to always know our need for you. In every part of our lives,
in our work,
in our play,
in our rest.
Keep us connected to Jesus,
our true vine.
Help us to pray, not because our lives are sorted, but because we need you. Every minute, every hour, every day. We need you, Father. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus is the one true vine. We are branches. We must be connected to him, for it is in Christ alone that true life is found.
Oh,
Let us pray. Let us wait patiently for God. He looks, he listens, he lifts us up from the ditch. He pulls us from the deep mud and stands us on a solid rock so that we don't slip. Praise God for all he does for us. He doesn't want us to bring something. That's not what he's after. He doesn't want us to be pious or religious. He wants us to allow him to open our ears so that we can listen to him, hear him as he speaks quietly into our lives. We are poor. We are needy. Apart from you, Lord, we can do nothing. Let us remember in prayer those whose lives have been devastated in one way or another, yet still know that God is in charge despite everything. In Indonesia, Abayasa was getting ready for work. His house began to shake. He grabbed his children and rushed out of the house. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. The ground around them turned to waves of liquid earth. Abayasa's family survived the disaster. Many others didn't. They found accommodation in a safe area. 50 days later, he returned. The earthquake had caused his house to move 700 meters. Nothing was left standing. He found one of his children's teddy bears. He began to cry. As he picked through the rubble, Abayasa found his wallet with all his cards and documents intact, the things he thought he had lost. Even in the midst of disaster, he was able to thank God for this small mercy and miracle. He is now serving others who have been through the same devastating experience. Being a survivor is a great encouragement to his colleagues and the communities he is serving. So let's remember communities in Indonesia and others who are suffering from big disasters. Let us pray for strength and perseverance and provision as they rebuild their lives. Let us thank God for the example of Abayasa, who despite losing his own home is working with others. Sometimes small miracles can help us trust in God's goodness, even in the midst of big problems. So pray for small and big miracles to continue happening. South Sudan is a young country, 8 years on from independence. It had its birthday on the 9th of July. It wasn't a very happy birthday. There was a peace deal signed in September last year. but still a new government has not been formed. Continue to pray with others in South Sudan for peace and stability that they want for their nation. Continue to pray for small miracles leading to big miracles, for change and support for the people in South Sudan to survive and rebuild their country. And pray for Kenya and Ethiopia, who are helping to try and broker this peace deal. Pray that there may be food for the hungry, as well as peace. Pray for families who are moving back to their homes in parts of Syria to begin rebuilding their lives. Lord, the amazing strength that these people show us, may they experience your love, your compassion, as they go back to houses which have been destroyed, rebuild their lives and their communities. And particularly for the children in Syria and in Yemen, who've known no other life but war and hunger and pain. As we listen for your voice, Lord, we ask that they may know and experience your love and compassion to go forward and rebuild their lives. Use our prayers, Lord, to your glory. Help us be willing to be pruned and to be useful branches, to be willing to say, come, Lord, live in me. Then, and only then, can we be in you and produce fruit to your glory. We too are empty and needy. Fill us anew. And for our own situation in our own country, as for those who are voting for our new Prime Minister, Lord, speak to them that they may know your way. Build your church, Lord. Forgive us when we don't play our part. Forgive us when we stop others from playing their part. And forgive us when we lack the courage to obey. And forgive us for getting in the way of you, of others seeing you. We bring to, Lord, this morning, friends, family, near and far, who are not with us for various reasons, ill in hospital, sick at home, just unable to be with us. Lord, be with them. Let them know that you care for them. We come, Lord, in a mess. But Lord, you can make something of us. You can do it, Lord. Let us be more aware of you. Allow you in more. More aware of our poverty and the great gift of your love, your mercy and grace to us. Amen.
Thank you, Noel. Jesus Christ is the true vine, the true foundation, the true rock of our lives on which we shall stand.
We
are poor. We are needy. But the Lord takes thought for us. And by God's amazing grace, each and every one of us is connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ himself. So go into this week. Know that you are connected to God. Know that he is always there, ready to help you through every part of life. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may it rest upon each of us and upon all who we love, this day and forevermore. Amen.